You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Watching Professor Wiseman and Kutlu, chair of KPMG, speaking on Friday at the launch of his memoir entitled Enabler or Victim, KPMG and State Capture, which he described as his humble contribution to the debate about the auditing profession, I was certainly left with the feeling that much more balm will be required to heal this gaping wound that is stopping us as a country from repairing the damage of the state capture years and growing strong enough to rebuild the country, rebuild trust and build social compact. But it's an important first step, and to hear that KPMG will pay reparations to former SARS employees affected by those rogue unit reports is certainly welcome. I'm joined now by former head of the High Risk Investigations Unit, one of those individuals who saw his colleagues' lives shattered by the malicious and spurious rogue unit narrative, now discredited, Johan van Lochrenberg. Johan, welcome. Watching the webinar on Friday, your thoughts on the mea culpa by KPMG's chairman?
Thank you, Michael, and to your listeners. I think it should be cautiously acknowledged and appreciated. It's a bit late in the day, you know, we're towards the end of 2020. And if you can recall, you know, the first shift from KPMG on that specific report, which was completed early in 2016, came in early 2017 when the then CEO, Mr. Trevor Hu, clarified that it was in fact not a forensic investigation as was claimed, and a mere documentary review with limitations which included that those people that it pronounced guilt upon was done unilaterally without affording them a hearing or even engaging them. Then, at some point towards middle 2017, KPMG South Africa, together with KPMG International, conducted an internal investigation into that report, of which the public never seen the content or outcome of. And despite certainly me requesting them formally to participate in that process, I was not allowed to. But the outcome of that was that they did withdraw the essence of the report, which was the findings, recommendations, and legal opinions. And they also issued various apologies via KPMG International, and the then new CEO at the time also issued certain apologies. The head of their forensics division appeared before Parliament and acknowledged certain deficiencies in the report, as well as before a panel of the renowned advocate Dumisa Ntsebeza SC, you know, describing it as unprofessional and not how they do things and so forth. They also then returned the full fee to the South African Revenue Service that following year. So in its very essence, the report was gone. It had been all but repudiated by KPMG. I guess the reason why it's still relevant now is the fact that this balance of the report remained in place and ended up in the court papers and with the public protector. And interestingly enough, you know, it's a very thick report, but when you look at the very first page of it, it actually defines the report in itself, and it says quite specifically that the report may not be provided to any third party, may not be used in any part or in any portions for any purpose. It was not prepared for the resolution or disposition of any dispute or controversy, and is not to be disclosed, quoted, or referenced in whole or in part. So it was basically a very expensive I don't know what to call it.
Well,
And I think what we heard on Friday was, for me, and that's what makes me appreciate what the professor announced, was that there was an acknowledgement that this report and the work that had been done by those people involved in this report at KPMG at the time did cause damage to human beings and their families and their children. And the professor did not couch it. He did not speak in legalese. He was straightforward. He If I recall correctly, you were on there too, Michael.
I was.
So you would have heard he was unequivocal. He even made the point that we should move past that point where you make technical points.
Mm.
If something is wrong, it's wrong.
Don't hide behind the expectation gap. It was refreshing to hear that. At the same time, in that spirit, one would hope that the parties who were really impacted would have been consulted. And I believe that you weren't consulted in the decision to pay reparations.
Well, again, I heard the term reparation. So, the disadvantage I'm faced with is pretty much what the public is faced with, and that is, we learnt of this on Friday towards the end of the book launch, unexpectedly, so to speak. We now know that the Revenue Service and KPMG had been in discussions around this for quite some time, even before lockdown. And that's certainly our part of the discussions, and none of the people in the survivor supporter group have been engaged by KPMG. So this is certainly news to all of us, which makes it odd in a sense. How do you discuss these sort of things without not engaging those very people?
It's more than odd, JVL. It smacks of something of a well-orchestrated PR exercise. If you're not including the people who were most damaged by the entire affair, surely that undercuts the authenticity and the genuineness of the reparation statement.
Yes, Michael. Philosophically it is so, but this is not the first instance where, I've had to deal or hear something that I ought to have been given to participate in because it materially affects my rights, and that's been withheld from me. That's been the sort of golden thread right through this, going back to the Sikatkane panel report. I had to read it when it was published to the world in April 2015. So, in that sense, yes. But I think in another sense, we must probably understand that firstly, we're dealing with a corporate that's got a lot to answer for on the one hand, and they have this past to deal with. But at the same time, they have to negotiate and navigate a future for the bulk of the employees who did not compile these reports or engaged in these questionable activities. So I guess there's that kind of balance. On the Revenue Service side, I can't, and I won't even try and speculate why it is that there's the silence, because it's always, I've been dumbfounded by the silence. But I don't want to do to them what they've done to me. So I don't want to speculate and accuse at this stage when I don't have the facts. There may well be good explanations. I don't know.
Have you been approached on that point, Johan? Have you been approached by SARS Commissioner Edward Keyswetter? He certainly strikes a figure as someone who has taken a no-nonsense approach to things like corruption and to cleaning up SARS. How would you like to see SARS Commissioner Edward Keyswetter act in a manner that will ultimately put the entire nightmare to bed once and for all?
I'm guessing his hands are pretty full since he took office, because he inherited a really broken institution with a very low morale. So I'm not sure where on his list of to-do things we exactly fit into. And I think that's quite a long list that he's sitting with. So I don't know. That's simply my answer. What I would want, if I had a magic wand, is, I guess, a simple thing, and that would be for the parties concerned to perhaps sit around the table and first of all deal with what I had offered to Professor Nkuhlu on Friday online, which is, if KPMG stood by the balance of the report, let's go public line by line and head to head so that the public can make up their own mind. Okay, that's not a new offer to them. I've been making that offer to them since 2016. They clearly don't want that. But effectively, for me, what's now being said you know, negates that entire process. This report is worth nothing.
Johan, I've got to stop it there. Unfortunately, we have to go into the news. We'll be following up with Professor Nkutlu as well, just to find out exactly where things lie on that front. Johan van Lochrenberg, former SARS executive, talking about the decision by KPMG to pay reparations to the state capture survivors. Is it enough? Well, judge for yourself. Anne Williams is standing by with your news after this.